John chapter number 1, verse number 4. Verse number 4, one verse here today. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that's what I want to teach here this morning for a little while. The life was the light of men. Praise God. God, you're so good to us. We're very thankful for your word. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word helps us. I pray, God, that you would take this word here this morning, that you would open it up to our understanding. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to be able to understand what you are putting forth unto us today. Let your word speak to us, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Light was the light of men. Praise God. Light is a extremely major theme throughout all of the Bible. And obviously, in contrast to that, darkness is also a major theme. We understand the types and the shadows that light represents and the type of shadow that darkness represents. And the Bible teaches us that the children of Israel faced darkness in the land of Goshen, or less, at least Egypt faced the darkness, and there was light in Goshen. But the Bible said that the darkness was so thick and so prominent that it could be felt. It was a darkness that could be felt. And I believe that we're living in a generation where the darkness of this world can be felt. Amen. We are affected by that, and the darkness can be felt. And so with being in a place that is so intense and full of darkness, then the light on the contrary can be hurtful to the eyes. And the Bible said that he hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's just like coming out of an extremely dark room into the light. That light pierces asunder. The darkness is not able to overcome it, such as in verse 5 of John chapter number 1. And it brings a little bit of intenseness, and it can hurt the eyes of the beholder. But it begins to illuminate what is around. Fears are dispelled, and confusion is gone. The Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. It was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and then God began to speak, and he said, let there be light. So before anything, he issued light and caused that light to shine in the darkness. Praise God. I am not going to finish this here today. I'm just going to go until I feel like the Lord would tell me that that's far enough. I'll probably continue on with this later tonight. But I just want to bring this to our attention here today, that in a world full of confusion, that what brought control, or what brought order unto that world, was light. Bible teaches us that God spoke, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light shined in that darkness. And we know that the sun and the moon were not created at that point in time. It's not until day 4 in Genesis 1, 14 and 15 that God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven. And he made the two great lights, the light to rule, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. Praise God. And so that's how that light became, amen, that God spoke it into existence. And there was a need for something greater than just the light, as he was created in day 1, but there was the sun that was there. And it has its place. It has its importance. And in our day and age and generation, everybody is wondering and fearful of when the sun is going to go out. And that the sun, just a great star, that it could burn out. And then what is going to happen to us? I just pray that I'm not around to see all of that. Amen. Praise God. And so there is the value that is placed upon the sun. More than just being a source of light, the sun brings unfathomable nutrients to the plant kingdom and many benefits to the rest of God's creation. It brings unto the plant kingdom the photosynthesis, the process used by plants and other autotrophic organisms to convert light energy into chemical energy that can be used to fuel the organism's activities. And we're going to get into a little bit of this here today, but this 400 trillion watt light substance has been found to be extremely beneficial to not only to the plant kingdom, but unto humanity and unto the animal kingdom. And it is in Greek mythology that the sun was Apollo's chariot of fire, and that was driven across the sky daily, bringing life and giving life to the planet. And Apollo was the god of medicine and healing, as well as the sun and light. And this Apollo's chariot could bring sickness as well as cures in the Greek mythology. But yet when scientists began to study the pros and the cons of the sun, we see that the Greeks, even in their mythology, they were not exactly so far off, because study has shown to a similarly dichotomous recognition that exposure to the ultraviolet rays of the sunlight has both beneficial and detrimental effects upon the human health. Amen. And we're going to talk about some of those benefits today, and we may talk about some of the detriments at some point in time. But we know that it is there. It has a purpose. And the Bible teaches us concerning the Lord God, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the more that we begin to know about life, the more complex and elusive it proves to be. Life rising from the dust in a myriad forms beckons us and says that this is the finger of God. Every cell, every membrane, every complex molecule, every strand of DNA confirms that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know that man without God is incomplete. Praise God. Amen. Man without God is incomplete. Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, we would see that God would speak unto the earth in order to bring creation of the trees. And that He said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. And a few verses later, in verse number 20, the Bible teaches us that God spoke unto the waters and told them to bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and open the firmament of the heaven. Amen. When He brought forth the whales and the fish and the other creatures that are in the sea. Amen. But when it came time for man, we see that God did not speak unto another object, didn't speak unto the earth or to the water or to the skies or to any other thing, but said within Himself, let us make man in our image. Praise God. And so God created man in His own image. The unique thing about this is that when you take the tree out from the grounds of the soil, amen, that tree will die if its roots is not embedded into the soil. That God spoke and said, I want you to bring forth some life in this. And when you take a fish out of water, amen,
and put him upon the land for an extended period of time, that fish will die because it does not have what it needs in order to be productive and to have life outside of the water. And so it is with mankind, that when you take mankind away from God, he begins the process of dying. Amen. The Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. There really is not a life that is worth living that has any productive value to it outside of the life of God. Amen. You take man very far away from God, and he begins a digressive state in nature. Amen. His course of life begins to digress. Amen. There is a way, Solomon said, that seems to be right in the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It is not within man to know, amen, what is good, to do what is right. There is a carnal nature that is in man that is bent towards walking away from God. Praise the Lord. But I'm so glad that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in him was life, and the life was the light unto men. And the next verse said that the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. I've just come here today to tell you, amen, that there is an adversary that comes to seek, amen, to steal, to kill, and to destroy every one of us. Amen. It matters not what your last name is. It matters not how young that you are or how old that you are. There is an enemy that is bent on trying to destroy you. But thank God there is a light, and that light is the light, amen, of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. There is a greater life, amen, when we are with God. There is a greater value when we tie our lives into the kingdom of God.
Praise God. Amen, amen. Job said, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Praise God. Amen. But we know that God has got a way. It's not the will of God for us to perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. Corinthians, Paul said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which should believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel should shine, amen, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's the light of this glorious gospel. I was doing some reading early this morning, and came across a saying, and I know I'm going to mess it up at least a time or two, and then I still may not get it right. But I read in my book, And it said, you know what, that there is an adverse danger in thinking that you know more than you know. And then in knowing so much that you can't be told you're wrong. That's where the real danger is. In that you know too much to be told that you're wrong. Praise God. I was having a conversation not too long ago in a situation, and being the minister and such, and I have, say, given my life to reading the Word of God, to studying the Word of God and such, and taking a few courses here and there beyond, and trying to do so even now, going back through some things and some courses and such, but somebody that does not know the Word of God, they could not tell you anything about book, chapter, and verse. They cannot spell it out. They can't even prove that it's there. They just know. They just know. At least they think that they know. and they know too much to be told that they're actually wrong. And so they tried to pressure and say, well, you know what, we'll let God be the judge of all things, because that's what God is, and that it's not left up to us to judge, and that we shouldn't judge, and it just kept going on and on and on and such like. You know, well, we're not supposed to judge, and we leave that to the man upstairs to judge, and such like that. I said, finally, I just said, well, and the reason that I said it was because they were trying to push their thoughts and agendas and their religion and quote unquote theology upon me, that I was just going to have to accept it. And finally, I said, well, you know, in all reality, that's not what the Bible says. Well, I know that the Bible does. The Bible says that we're not supposed to judge. And I said, and that's where everybody stops. You know, the context of verse that you're looking at is in John chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And the Bible teaches us that he says, judge not, lest you be judged with the same judgment that you mete out. In other words, if it's good for me, then it's going to be good for you. And that if you're going to judge me according to one way, then you can expect to be judged according to the other way. And I said, and on top of that, Paul was writing unto the Corinthian church who had some major, major issues, and it was not left for God to judge. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote and he said, look, there's some things that you should have already judged. And he said, and I'm not even there, and I've already judged them. And I am telling you that you ought to do this, this, and this. I've only heard of what is going on, and you ought to do this, this, and this. He finishes it all off by saying, look, are you so afraid to judge when there is coming a day that you yourself are going to judge angels? You've been given the Word of God. Don't be afraid to use the Word of God. If it's right, it's right, and if it's wrong, it's wrong. And so this thought process that says, no, we're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to judge. I understand. But friend of mine, let me just state that the Bible teaches us what is right. Paul even said that. He said, I didn't even know what was right and what was wrong, except for that the Word came and began to tell me, thou shalt not covet. And now that I've got the Word of God talking to me, I understand. So it's not just us judging by our own pretense and our own imaginations and by our own will and by our own knowledge. It's our judgment is based upon the Word of God. Praise God. How did I ever get off on that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. But there is the light of this glorious gospel. The light of this glorious gospel. I know how I got off on it. And you've got people that want to state and say, well, I know that the Bible says this and this and this. And my conclusion is just show me. Just show me. But I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Is the problem is that for too long we have taken another man's word, amen, that the Bible states this, and the Bible doesn't necessarily state that. And that is the premise of all false doctrines that are out there. Somebody began to believe something outside of Scripture. And something that was believed outside of Scripture began to be incorporated as doctrine. Praise God. Well, glory, don't get quiet on me now. Praise the Lord, it's the truth. And so when light comes and we can see it, then we have to make a decision of whether we're going to accept it or not. And let me just state that whether I accept it, whether I choose to accept it, or whether I choose not to accept it, amen, does not change God's word. I can look at it all day and I can say, well, I don't believe that that's what it means. I see what it says, but I don't believe that's what it means. It does not change God's word. God is not looking for my opinion on it. The Bible teaches us that his word is forever settled in heaven. And though heaven and earth would pass away, that the word of God shall stand forever. Praise God. And so it is up to, I do not want to be the type of person that knows too much to be told that I am wrong. If I am wrong, I want to hear it. Why? Because I want to be right. I want to be saved. Praise God. And so the Bible teaches us, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Friend of mine, that's not just those that are on the outside and doing drugs and smoking weed and drinking all kinds of alcohol. That's not just for them. But it's for every false doctrine that is being preached. Their eyes have been blinded to this glorious gospel. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I want you to know today that darkness enfolds the children of the fallen Adam. We could talk about the darkness of the religious mind that leads otherwise intelligent people to harbor superstition or into embrace all kinds of high-sounding nonsense and lies and such. We could talk about the darkness of the philosophical mind that speculates vainly about the ultimate nature of things. The darkness of the carnal mind, which is entrenched in enmity against God and is quite prepared to entertain 1,000 hurtful and destructive lusts. We could talk about the darkness of the scientific mind that says life is bewildering in its complexity, and in the next breath declares that life is only chemistry and that therefore there is no reason to believe in God. But yet the Bible does teach us that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word does teach us that God hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and that the Word teaches that the light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not overcome it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light equating to understanding. I want the light of this glorious gospel to be bright. I want it to be clear, not only in my eyes, but to be in my life. I want this light to change my life. I want this light to illuminate my life. I want this light to do the things that it has purposed to be able to do in my life.
Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. There is nothing that is contrary in the Word of God that contradicts one another. I think that one of the greatest truths here in the book of John, chapter number 1, the Bible teaches us that in Him was life, the life was the light unto men. And it goes on to state, amen, that in Him dwells all the fullness of truth and grace. And that grace and truth can walk side by side together. But you see, the fallacy that mankind has, the delusion, the darkness that is in their mind, is that grace and truth do not walk hand in hand. They won't tell you that, amen, but they, when they get truth about them, then what do? They all of a sudden lean up to grace and says, well, grace is going to cover all this, and grace is going to help us through all this, and we're saved by grace. Let me tell you something. We are saved by grace through truth. His Word is truth, and that's what the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, that we are saved by grace through faith in Him. In what? In His Word. In His truths that He has. Grace does not compromise truth, and truth is not afraid of grace. They can walk hand in hand together. Amen. For the Bible teaches us that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us truths. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. There is no justification for sin. There is no reason, no excuse that you continue on sinning. Amen. That a person would say, well, I was saved back in 1968, and you know what, and I just do what I want to do, but I'm saved by grace. Amen. That is not in the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, verse number 4, amen, 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are saved live any longer therein? Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Not in their sins. When you get saved like you're supposed to be saved, you're not going to be sinning any longer. We're not preaching a place of, amen, eternal sanctification. We're not preaching a place, amen, of perfection unto Him. Amen. We are all striving for that mark, but we will not justify nor excuse sin in our life. We go to 1 John chapter number 2, and we understand that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for
our sins only, but for the sins of the whole earth. And the Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Praise God. And so, amen, all of this saying, amen, well, I'm not doing that, but you know what? I'm not off getting drunk, and I'm not off shooting drugs into my veins. I'm not off high. I'm not off, you know, in all kinds of immorality and all of these other things. Jesus said that the definition of sin is simply, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But I'm going to tell you what darkness does. Darkness is going to say, that doesn't matter. Darkness is going to say, that's not for us. Amen. There is something wrong with your theology when you have to go through the Bible and you have to say, this does not mean what it says. There is something wrong with your theology when you go back to the Bible and say, this isn't for us though. It's only for them back there. Amen. My Bible teaches me that God is not the author of confusion, and that God is not a respecter of person. Amen. But that God holds everybody accountable to his word. My Bible says that on that great day of judgment, that we will all stand before him and the books will be open. And what kind of excuse is it going to be to tell God, well, Lord, that was back for Peter and Paul, but that wasn't for 2022. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. And if God is going to hold Peter and Mary and Paul and James and John and everybody else accountable for the word, then he's going to hold me accountable for the exact same word. Praise God. Paul told the Roman church, he said, be not conformed to this world. It is an ever-changing world. Superstitions, denominations, religions, changing. Amen. We've got religions out there that are so far-fetched and so far out there. Amen. That even, I'll keep it polite. Amen. There's something I wanted to say, but I'm not going to say it. Amen. But there are things that are out there. Amen. That would blow the mind of the human being as we look at that and we say, my goodness. Again, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and we got to talking about whatever the religion is that is science, Scientology, that is out there, and some of the Hollywood stars have been involved in that, and this individual said, that is the most goofy thing that I've ever seen or heard of in my entire life. And I thought to myself, how can it be, amen, that the majority of people can take a look at something and say, now, wow, that's pretty far-fetched, that's pretty far out there, but yet the same time they drink the Kool-Aid that comes down the pipeline of so many other things. How about we just go back to the Word? How about we just get back into the Bible? And the Bible teaches us, sanctify them with truth, for thy word is truth. John chapter number 17. Amen. We need the truth of God. For the Word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Amen. I stopped right there because that's what we need. We need the Word of God to pierce asunder between soul and spirit. Amen. It's more than my desires. It's more than my wants. It's more than just my beliefs. I need the Word of God to pierce, to divide. Amen. I need the light to be divided from darkness. I need to come out from among them. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 17. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Paul said, what light hath fellowship with darkness? Amen. We've got to come out of that darkness. We've got to embrace the light. We've got to accept the light. Why? In him was life, and the life was the light unto men. Amen. It is essential. It is necessary that we get back to the Maker, Christ Jesus. It is essential that we go back to the roots, which is God. And he said, let us create man in our own image. Oh, I know there's a lot of people who say, oh, no, right there. You alluded to a plurality of gods. The Bible never alludes to a plurality of gods outside of false doctrine. All of the gods of Baal and Ishtoreth and all of the gods of the... He said, Joshua chapter number 24, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, plural, that are on the other side of the flood, amen, or God. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, amen, Jehovah our Elohim, he is one Jehovah. There's not two Jehovahs. There's not three Jehovahs. There's not three persons. Amen. There is one God. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Amen. Teaches us that the entire Godhead dwells in Christ Jesus bodily. Amen. For the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily, not a part, not a third, but the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Praise God. Amen. That's just what they want you to accept. I could get into it. I could get into the verbs and the verb tenses of the Hebrew words. Amen. And you can get into it as well. You can go study it out. Just go. I hesitate to tell you to go ask Sister Siri about it, amen, and Brother Google about it, but I'm going to tell you that they're going to know what the plural of majesty is, and that is a Hebrew context in verb. Amen. The plural of majesty. Praise God. Amen. But that's not what we're here to talk about, even though we are. Praise God. But you know what? The light shines in darkness, and thank God that God came to my convoluted mind. That God came to my messed up mind, to my mixed up mind that was being ruled by darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it did. I remember so many times sitting around at home and just outside riding the bike or kicking the ball or whatever we were doing outside. And then all of a sudden here comes that, you know, one organization that comes around and they always knocking doors and such. And a neighborhood that was alive, full of children and loud and full of chaos and screaming and all that other stuff became a desolate land. And there was such quietness that was everywhere. And all the kids ran to the house screaming, they're back. And we all ran into the back room, shut the door and turned the lights off. Pretended that nobody was home. And they would come and they'd knock on the door. And it'd be like they're saying, I know you're in there. I just saw you run into your house. But you know what? After I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God began to help me, and I began to understand, and the truth was revealed unto me. I remember running into the house and waiting for them with my Bible. We were ready to do battle. Yeah! And they knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and we began to talk. And you know what? Before it was all said and done, I was one confused young teenager. And after about two or three times, I was one confused teenager. They were some confused Jehovah Witnesses. And my pastor was one tired individual. And I go back to him, I got questions! And he'd open up the Word of God, and he'd begin to explain to me and help me, and I'm like, I'm ready for him now. And about the time that I knew that I was going to be able to overcome them and take them and stuff like that, they stopped coming to my door. They skipped my house. So I just ran to my friend's house. And they knocked on my friend's house door, and I opened the door and was like, hey. And then after a little while, they said, okay, well, we got to be going. I said, all right, no problem. So I shut the front door, ran out the back door, jumped the fence, ran down about five, jumped in there, went to my other friend's house. And so when they knocked on that door, I opened the door back up. I want to say, I am your worst nightmare. But you know what? Something got into me. And that's what truth does.
truth prevails. The Bible said that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the darkness could not overcome it. And that's what Satan is going to do. Satan wants to appease the human flesh. Satan wants to appease the carnal mind. But the Bible teaches us explicitly that we are not of this world, and that we need to come out from among the world. What light has fellowship with darkness? Praise God. But that's what it is for. That's what the Word of God is for. And the Word of God helps us. I'm going to save all of this to get into it later, later today, later tonight. We get into church. And but you know, if that's all that it did, it would be sufficient. And not only would it be sufficient, it would be efficient. If this is all that the Word of God did was just save us. That's all that we did was just walk around with the Bible tucked under our arms with no knowledge, no understanding, no anything else like that. And just walked around almost zombie-ish. But we were saved. It would be worth it. But that's not the way that God wants it to be. One of the main sources of vitamin D for the body is the sun. And in the land where I don't know if God dwells or not, that's up in like Washington, Seattle, Tacoma, Oregon, the land of perpetual drizzle, where the sun refuses to shine for months. I was preaching revival up there in 2006, and now I'll tell you, it's glorious when they have bluebird days. It's fabulous. The weather's great. Everything's wonderful. But even they have 100-degree weather. And so somebody says, well, you need to leave Kansas to get out of 100-degree weather. And where shall I go? Colorado has 100-degree weather. Washington has 100-degree weather. So anyways. We got up there. And summer progressed into the fall, and the monsoon season came. And it began to rain. Well, drizzle. And it drizzled and it drizzled and it rained and drizzled and drizzled and rained and rained and drizzled. And so I asked a pastor one time, I said, how do you do this? He said, do what? I said, how do you live in a place like this that all it wants to do like this is day after day it wants to rain and rain and rain and rain? And I said, it's been raining constantly for 21 days. It hasn't even stopped. It's always just drizzling rain. Finally, our kids, they were so, I mean, we lived in a fifth wheel trailer. And finally, we just told our kids, we went and bought them little rain jackets. We're like, just get out and go play. And couldn't take it anymore. And me, not them. No, they couldn't either. But anyways, he said, oh, it's your mindset. It's your perception. You got to look at it on the positive side. I said, well, please help me because I'm not very positive right now. You know, there's a reason why, and this is the truth, but there is a reason why that Washington has the highest suicide rate in the nation. It's because they lack in vitamin D, because they will go for months without the sun. They don't get that natural. And so a lot of people take extra vitamin D throughout the winter and stuff because they know that they're not going to get it. It's depressive. And that's what vitamin D does. Vitamin D helps you through and over depression. And so I asked him, I said, okay, so help me out. And he said, all right. He said, so like this week, he said, it's only rained twice this week. I said, only twice? I said, it hasn't stopped. He said, no, that's negative thinking. Positive thinking, it's only rained twice. I said, well, enlighten me. Turn the light on. Let me see some things. He said, well, the first time it rained 4 days, and the second time it rained 3 days. I'm like, you can have it. You can have it. But you need that vitamin D. And people that lack in vitamin D are depressed. Depressed. And so you need to get outside. I read this recent research suggests that vitamin D may provide protection from osteoporosis, hypertension, high blood pressure, cancer, and several other autoimmune diseases. Vitamin D. Vitamin D protects from osteoporosis, hypertension, high blood pressure, cancer, and several other autoimmune diseases. And the main source of vitamin D is the sun. And so we'll get into this tonight. But in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We've got to get into his presence. And you can't stay away from his presence and survive. Because these diseases and these sicknesses, conditions, are going to overwhelm. People that stay away from the church and don't come to church, then they get depressed. And they just stop coming to church. And they begin to live in darkness, overwhelmed by darkness. And then begin to put on the works of darkness. Paul told the church in Thessalonians, he said, we are not children of the dark. We are not children of the night. We are children of the light. And that has total new meaning to it and stuff, because he's talking about the coming of the Lord, that day should overcome us or overtake us as a thief in the night. But we are children of the light, and we are looking forward to that day. Amen. But we are not of darkness. We are not of the night. And your strength is going to come from staying connected and in the church. Say, well, I'll just stay home and I'll just listen to it on the web, or I'll just listen to it. You're not going to receive off of the web or off of any type of app. You're not going to receive from that like you'll receive from right here. That's like taking a picture of the sun and putting it up in your room and laying down and saying, I'll just receive of this. It's not going to happen. You've got to get in the real thing. You've got to get outside. You've got to get in the sun, and you've got to be able to absorb the rays of it. Friend of mine, you've got to get in the presence of God. And when you get in the presence of God, it begins to expose things. Amen. Some foreign radicals that are in the blood, that are in the body, and they begin to do war. And that vitamin D that is there begins to overwhelm them. Amen. No wonder he stated with the truth and said, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. You got to get in the word. You got to stay in the word. You got to get in the church. You got to stay in the church. You got to get close to Jesus. And you got to stay close to Jesus if you're going to be saved. Let's stand here this morning. Praise God. Just a simple little Bible lesson today. Just a simple little Bible lesson. But there are so many benefits. There are so many benefits from it. And it's not just benefits as getting a bonus on the job. It's essential. It's essential. There's a purpose. There's a reason. And he stated emphatically, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. I know what it's like to sit there and then think to myself, you know what? I was taught this all of my life. And I began to look at some things and began to put my belief on the table and began to let the word of God speak to me and deal with me. And it's not that I was wrong. I was jaded, a little bit twisted, a little bit off. But in the Bible, there is none of that. The Bible is a plumb line that hangs straight. And that plumb line tells you what's crooked. Back when I was in the construction field, lasers were getting a gaining popularity. They were still extremely expensive. And the company bought a few different lasers that we would use for different things. And we were told to protect them with our life because they were so expensive. Nowadays, like anybody can buy a laser. Get a laser fairly cheap, relatively cheap. And you can go out there. But did you know that lasers are not always true? Miscalibrations. A laser has got to be calibrated. And it can get out of calibration. How does that happen? Somebody dropped it. Even a level can lose calibration. And you can put a level up on a door frame and it can say, that is totally plumb. And you can hang a plumb line off of that and you can begin to measure and you can say, no, it's not. It's out of plumb. And so I remember back then we would take two levels and we would stick them together. And we would hold them together and you could see, hey, that one's off. One of them is off. The right one is off or the left one is off. But one of them is off because they're both not reading true. So how do you know which one's right and which one's wrong? We go get the plumb line. And we'd drop a plumb line. And then we would measure, put that level on the door and begin to measure over and say, no, this one's right. Put that other one and say, no, this one's wrong. And so what we would do is whoever's level was wrong, we'd just tell them, say, you know what? Get that level out of here. Get that level off the job site. Because what's going to happen is everybody's going to build it out of plumb. So what's the big deal? When you don't understand the finished product, it's not a big deal. But when you understand the finished product, it's a major deal. Because what's done wrong in the framing part is followed with the drywall. It's done wrong. And then it's made that which is wrong is made to look all pretty with the finishing and the texturing and the painting. And then when the trim comes along and you start trying to put together 45 degree corners, they don't go together. It's off. And so now the trim carpenter is frustrated because he's got to, instead of being able to just say 45 up, 45 over, 45 down, 45 back, we're good. Now he's got to work on it and see what degree it is. Because the trim carpenter's got enough pride. Some says spackle and paint makes a carpenter what he ain't. But there's some trim carpenters like, we're not spackling my work. We're not caulking my work. And so they meticulously look at it. And then what do? They curse the framers what they do. All because somebody couldn't understand the finished product. All because somebody built it wrong. Got it out of plumb. And then they go in there to hang that door. And it looks like my front door. Gap across the top, over here, 3/16, over here, nothing. Down here, got a gap, up here, nothing. And it just doesn't look right. But see, the Word of God is that plumb line.
Hallelujah.
And instead of measuring the Word of God to our beliefs, we ought to be measuring our beliefs
right
to the Word of God. I remember, and I'm closing with this, but I remember I was working on a fairly large project. I had my level back behind me, and I was in this lift. And I was going up in this lift, and I was watching the building, making sure I wasn't hitting the building and extending out and going up at the same time and stuff. And all of a sudden I heard, And I turned around and looked, and my level got caught on red iron outside of the basket, and it just bent it, just like that. And I was upset, and I wanted to take that level and just wrap it around a column somewhere and throw it out in the garbage. And I thought, I wonder how bad it's messed up. So I went in and found a guy that was framing up a door. And I said, is that door plumb? And he's like, yeah, it is. And so I stuck my level up on there, and it read true. Read perfect. I'm like, that can't be so. I said, drop that plumb line. So we dropped the plumb line. It read true. I kicked it a little bit out. It read off. We went to a different door, dropped a plumb line. It read true. I don't know how it did it, but it bent it perfectly straight. But the plumb line said it was true and everything. And you know what, though? I didn't have to worry about anybody stealing my level. But you know what? I did not take that bent level and start walking around as the boss of the crew, which I was, and walking around and sticking it on doors and saying, that's out of plumb. That's out of plumb. Sticking it on soffits. That's out of level. But what we did was we took my belief and we stuck it up against something that's absolutely 100% true. And we measured it off. Said it's true. What I'm saying today is it doesn't really matter what I believe. It doesn't really matter how I feel about it. What matters is my beliefs, how they line up to the Word of God. Because the light shines and it exposes error, fallacies, beliefs. And if we're afraid to let our belief be seen in the light of God's glorious truth, and there's something wrong with that. And it's going to come to be that little hidden cancer that starts off with just a few little cells. But as it begins to grow and begins to multiply, and then it's drastic measures to cure errors. I want the light of this glorious gospel to shine in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you come here this morning? Would you come and put your beliefs on an altar today and say, God, here they are. I'm putting everything upon this altar here this morning. And I'm putting it up to be lined up with you. It matters not how I feel. It matters not my beliefs. It matters not anything on those lines. God, I want to know your word. And if I'm in error, I want to know it because I want to be saved. God, if I'm not believing what I need to believe, then I want to know it because I want to be saved. God, with all of those that stand and say, it doesn't matter. God, if it doesn't matter, I want to know it. But if it does matter, I want to know that too as well. I can't stand and afford to stand in judgment day and know that it did matter. That's a flimsy excuse for somebody to say, oh, that doesn't matter. It's a small excuse that holds no weight for somebody to say, well, that was for them, but it's not for us today. I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. Let's find out. Let's put our beliefs, let's put our ambitions, let's put our egos, let's put all of these things upon the table today and say, God, I want nothing but the truth. Talk to me and help me. And today light has shined, light has come. And how do you see it today? Praise God. Oh, Jesus, help us today. Oh, let's just talk to the Lord this morning.